Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again on this recording, and I welcome you today. We're going to go right back into our study of prayer, and God bless you for sitting down and studying God's Word. I know I say that quite a bit, but it can't be said enough. I'm encouraged, and I know that as hard as it is for you to discipline yourself and fight off the enemy to sit down and study God's Word, that every one of you have joy in your hearts whenever it's all over and said and done, and you turn off this recording and you sit there and you think, well, I'm just glad I did that. I'm just thankful I did that. And plus, God the Holy Ghost giving you a commendation in your heart and letting you know that you're doing right. I don't know about you, but I in this world today, there's so much persecution and we got a generation that's coming up right now to where suicide is not even a secondhand word. When I was a boy, suicide was a lost word. There was no such thing as a word of suicide. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't in society, and it wasn't in our language. We didn't use it hardly. But as these generations have been coming up, and my age now, I've watched a couple generations come up now to where suicide's progressed itself up to common language. It's in every sentence, and there's so much interest in that now, and so much concentration in that now in the English language that it's popular. And that used not be. So as we get on into this prayer and studying and the enemy trying to stop you from doing everything, we need all the encouragement that we can get from one another. And that's why we're talking about prayer. And it's looking like we're going to have about two more studies in this until we wind up prayer as far as the ABCs of Christian growth goes, and just the ABCs of walking with the Lord and what we should know as children of God concerning prayer. Now, last week we went into a new category. I said that again, didn't I? Let's just go ahead and pretend that we're going by the week. Things that'll stop prayers from getting answered. We talked about that, remember? And then we moved on from that and went into things that we can and should pray for. And we talked about that. We talked about the Apostle Paul praying for Israel, remember? And that his heart's desire and prayer was that Israel would be saved. And then there were also three groups that we talked about. And if you remember right there in, what was it, Matthew? No, it was 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy that we was talking about, where he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions. That's all in the category of prayer right there, talking with the Lord and us communicating with the Lord. And anytime that we talk with the Lord, it's got to be spiritual. It's got to be in the Spirit. Those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And the Bible also says that that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when we talk to God, if we're truly talking to God, we're talking to Him from our spirit, according to what the Word of God says. What it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men. And then there was another one, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We talked about that, you remember. And I pray that as we've been going through this study of prayer, that it has encouraged your prayer life and encouraged your spirit, that there's nothing wrong for you praying, and that the devil's a liar and always has been, and that God's Word is encouraging you and giving you courage to go ahead and talk with your Lord. I know that if you had the choice to talk to me, about my conversing with the Lord, you would encourage me to talk to the Lord, no matter how much you knew about prayer. I think prayer is one of them things. Paul, remember when Paul said he hadn't arrived yet? He said he hadn't completely, you know, he was talking about how his qualifications were and everything else, and he said that he had not arrived yet as far as being perfect in the Lord. Well, I think prayer is one of those things that, I'm pretty well know it, that prayer is something that we're always going to be learning on, but I mean, even with one another, when it comes to talking with one another, the Bible tells husbands dwell with their wives according to knowledge. In other words, find out what makes them tick. Find out what about this and what about that. What can you say and what can't you say? What's going to happen if you say this? What's going to happen if you talk about this? You know, just all kinds of things like that. We learn how to talk with one another. And then when you come up to somebody else, a completely different conversation. You can say things to some people that you can't say to others. And I'm not talking about ugly or nasty or improper things. I'm talking about just regular conversation. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody to where you just absolutely, and you walk away for after it's all over with, you walk away from there feeling like a complete and utter idiot, that you just plain did not know how to carry on that conversation, and it wasn't nobody's fault, it wasn't your fault, and wasn't their fault, it just didn't happen. It didn't come together. So you had next time you come to them and you try it again and you try different avenues of how to communicate. Well, I think that's kind of how, you know, God is not like man. God doesn't think like man. So God, the Holy Ghost that dwells within us, as we start out talking with the Lord, we learn and we learn what we can say and what we can't say. And the Lord is very patient with us and merciful and compassionate with us, and he enjoys us coming and talking with him, and it all comes together together as we read the Word of God. We find out what God is like, and we find out what we should say and what we shouldn't say, and what we can ask for and what we can't ask for. And that's what we're doing with this study, is that we're finding out what the Word of God says. And it's God's words, so whatever we believe about what we're studying right here is in line with God's permission, if you will. And we learn how to talk with Him. And I don't think we ever get perfect at talking with Him. But you can get to where it's a wonderful conversation, and it gets more, I'm going to say this word, more real, and not that any kind of conversation with the Lord is fake, but when I say real, I'm talking about that you know how to dismiss the enemy and cast him out of your mind, and who he is when he's trying to talk to you, and you know what the flesh is when the fleshly mind's trying to talk to you, and you're able to control that. The Bible says bringing every thought into captivity. Into captivity. So we have to battle in our minds, and that's not a fake thing. That's a spiritual thing. All these psychiatrists and all these people out here that think they know the human mind and they know this, they know mechanical stuff about the mind, and they know chemistry, and they know all that kind of stuff, but as far as the spirit goes, they ain't got the slightest idea what the spiritual mind is. Most of them don't even believe it's real. Or a spirit? What? You say spirit in front of a psychiatrist, you got four prescriptions. I ain't kidding you. So you start talking about spiritual things in front of a psychiatrist, brother, they bring four or five psychiatrists in there in a row to listen to you. And you be telling the truth. You know, I can't wait to go to heaven. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I want to go. I'm ready to go home. Oh, he's suicidal. He's an idiot. Yeah, man, he's talking about spirits, and he's talking about devils, and talking about ghosts, and all this stuff is secondhand language according to the scriptures with the children of God. We talk about that stuff and get joy in our hearts. You talk about that stuff in front of a psychiatrist, you're going to have you a couple of prescriptions. Oh, my. But prayer, isn't it wonderful to have a God to talk to? a God that we can laugh with and imagine Almighty Creator that made everything in heaven and earth and even gave man his breath, gave us our breath. And he can take our breath from us anytime he wants to. He made all the spirits of all his creation. He made the spirits of the animals. He made the spirits of humans. He made the devil, and the devil's a spirit, and he's a certain spirit, and then God's spirit. Four different kinds of spirit. And he made all them. And that he would take the time to individualize us with conversation. That he would sit back and take the time to talk to you or talk to me. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. You know, Muhammad didn't say much about that, about Allah. He didn't say much about his conversation with Allah and all that and stuff like that. Buddha and all that gobbledygook that goes on there. I mean, they didn't brag on their God like we can brag on ours. They didn't. And they still don't. You ask any of them when they go to bragging on him and how popular he is and blah-bitty-blah-bitty, I just ask them one question. What's he ever done for you? What's he done for you? And I'm not talking about just generic things. Tell me something. If you got a God and that God's alive and that God's real, then you ought to be able to testify something. And you say you love him and you're depending on him and you're putting your life in his hands. And your soul in his hands, then you ought to be able to say something that he done for you, right? Anyway, let's get on back into our study. Prayer, very important, and we prosper with it as we grow. And the more that you pray, the better you get at it, and the more it's not like better as in mechanical. It's better as in fellowshipping with the Lord, with a real God, and with a God that loves you. And knowing how to address the Lord when he's whipping you, and knowing how to address him when he's rebuking you, and just learning how to talk with your Heavenly Father, and knowing that His Word says that it's His desire to hear us, and we have to believe that. And one really good reason to believe it is because the enemy's always telling you every reason why he don't hear you and why he won't hear you. As long as there's somebody trying to lie to you about it, then you know you're following the truth. Things that we can and should pray for. That's what we was talking about last recording. And Paul's talking about praying for his country, praying for his leaders, praying for the people, praying for people that they might be saved. Listen, these questions I ask you on here is just to be asking you questions, to stir your mind and put a little spark in there. It's not at all that I'm better than you or you're better than me or any kind of garbage like that. And what I mean is like this. When we're talking about praying for people, we talked about that last recording. Well, since last recording, have you thought of anybody that you lifted up, I mean, even if it took a half a second, and you said, Lord, save such and such. Did you do that? Did you think of anybody that you just lifted up right away? Good. Did you feel bad about praying for them? You say, Brother TV, you lost your mind. No, I just checking. You don't never feel bad about praying for somebody for the Lord, do you? You don't never feel bad about lifting somebody up to the Lord and praying in their behalf. Good. Well, just keep on. In 1 Timothy, we was talking about the three groups, kings and for all men and for those that are in authority. And we don't need to forget that, because if we don't pray for the people in authority, and try to turn the Lord's attention over there and get things changed and get the laws to where we can live with quiet and peaceable lives, with godliness and all honesty, then you're going to live with hell running up and down the streets and people going nuts and crazy and there's no peace anywhere and ungodliness everywhere and lying and deceit. Yeah. That's what's going on, ain't it? That's what's going on. And it can be narrowed down, and everybody tries to look for these answers and comes up with all kinds of questions after question after question, and the only thing that they have to recognize to fix it all is the fear of God. Let's bring God back into it. Oh, no, not that God thing again. Well, we talked about in Ephesians chapter 6 what we should pray for them that serve in the gospel ministry, remember? And that they could speak boldly from their mouths and say the things that need to be said and withhold the things that don't need to be said and to look after the flock of God that the Lord has put them over. And we need to pray for them and pray for their families, pray for their spirits, pray for their temptations. They're human too, and they're flesh too. And they have temptations and probably have more than we do, brothers and sisters. I know the enemy gets real mad at somebody as far as a preacher or an evangelist or a teacher or somebody like that that labors in the gospel and in the scriptures. The devil goes out of his way, and you want to see him doing some things and working. Every day to try to hinder the Word of God. He doesn't find that. It's one person that doesn't find the Word of God a vain thing to battle. And he goes all the way down to messing your computers up, and you say, well, now you're getting silly. No, I ain't. He's the prince of the power of the air, isn't he? Well, where's all that traffic come from that goes across your computer screen and all that kind of stuff and everything? If you use any kind of electronics for tools, the enemy gets in there, and man, he'll mess that stuff up. And he don't like you talking about God, and he don't like you studying it. He don't like any of that, and he will battle it. So they need prayer. They need us to pray for them. You say you ain't got anything to pray for? Yes, you do. Yes, you do, and you should. And you should. We talked about, I think that last thing that we talked about was 1 Samuel chapter 12. And verse 12:23, it said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Last thing we talked about was that the Bible refers to there in Samuel about it even being capable of being sin if we don't pray for what we should pray for. That brings it up into another whole category of importance, doesn't it? The Lord said, pray without ceasing. Continue always in prayer. So, as far as the Lord's concerned, He wants us to talk to Him and come to Him. And He knows the Lord Jesus was here. He knows what we're going through down here to try to talk to the Lord. And He understands all that. But you still got to press on through that mess and get down there and talk to the Lord. And you talk to Him on purpose. Sometimes it's going to be like trying to pull a mule out of the field, to get one word out without thoughts going across your mind and in your mind, and you just think you ain't doing nothing. But the Lord knows better. And sometimes it's just as sweet that you can't get up. It's just as sweet. But nevertheless, true and real and real. Now let's get on into what we're going to talk about this time. We got some scriptures here, and I began them last week. And what I'm going to do is scriptures that place the things that we can pray for. There's some things that we can pray for ourselves. In other words, when we go to prayer, we can ask the Lord for some personal things, for things that for ourselves rather than others. And there ain't nothing wrong with praying for yourself, but we'll just look into the scriptures and see what it is. In James chapter 1 verse 5, that's what we began last week. James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you need wisdom in something? I don't know about you, but life, I mean, this is supposed to be the age of knowledge. The age of knowledge, and they're talking about how knowledge is multiplying now and how it's doubling and tripling and going so fast that man can't keep up with it and everything. Well, you know, that's one thing, but knowledge is not necessarily wisdom. Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom's knowing how to use it and whether or not it's right and wrong. The Bible says that whenever a Christian gets to be a mature Christian and a grown-up Christian, in the Lord's opinion, do you know what the Bible says they're like? The Bible says that whenever you are a mature Christian, you will simply be able to tell the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. That's pretty simple, ain't it? But apparently not simple enough, because this world ain't headed to where it's seem like people ought to be getting more wiser and more wiser and more wiser and growing and growing and growing in the faith. But that's not what's happening. People are going along with the world and are becoming reprobate. And their conscience is being seared to where they're not able to tell what the difference in right and wrong is anymore. That's right. That's right. And go to the grocery store. You can see it. All you got to do is stand there and listen. And you'll know that people don't know the difference between right and wrong. One of the most fundamental questions in the world that you can ask somebody is, like Jesus said, is it right to save life or to kill it? Is it right to lie or not? I mean, just simple questions, fundamental questions. And some people can't answer them and won't answer them. James chapter 1, verse 5, brothers and sisters, talking about prayer, says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. You can ask him for wisdom. Now, we make choices all the time in our Christian walk, and we need wisdom to be able to go the right direction. And a lot of times there's confusion, and God is not the author of confusion when it comes to making decisions. And I'm guilty of this a whole bunch. Enemy talks to me, and he sounds just like God sometimes. And I'm trying to find out what I need to do and what direction I need to go in, and I'm getting two different things, or three different things, or whatever. And I can't tell which one of them's God sometimes. And that's why God's Word is so important, because every time we go to God's Word and we nail down our decision according to God's words, then we are doing right. Now, I ain't talking about selfishness and lying and deceiving ourselves into thinking God, it's okay with God and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about sincerely seeking wisdom about a decision and going to God's Word and finding out what He says about it and sincerely seeking God the Holy Ghost's answer from the written Word of God. And we get, we understand God's opinion about it in the Word, and we make our decision based on that. And the Bible says that we can also go to Him in prayer and ask Him for the wisdom that we need. It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I mean, even some of the most foolish things that you think that God wouldn't spend time with you on, you can go to Him and ask Him. Ask Him. He said He'd give you wisdom, and He passes it out liberally, as long as there's sincerity and there's truth in it. And who would want to talk to the Lord any other way, right? Next, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, listen to this. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What's the Bible telling us that we can pray for ourselves there? We can pray for ourselves that we enter not into temptation, for God to keep us out of temptation, can't we? How many of you need that kind of prayer? I do. Man, I do. I mean, you know your flesh and I know my flesh. And you know what your heart is privy to. You know it's kind of like walking that big dog with a leash on it, that big strong dog, and you're trying to hold that dog back. And that dog is trying to pull one way and pull another way, and you're trying to hold him back to keep him from running to something. That's the same way your heart is. And that's the way temptation treats your heart. Your heart looks over and sees that and pew, takes off after it, and you have to hold it back. And we ask God to keep us from temptation. You know what your heart's privy to. You know whether your heart runs after perverted things or sex things or money things or covetousness or lying or just, I mean, anything. Our flesh is apt to be, that flesh is evil, Jesus said. And Paul said there's no good thing in it. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. No means no. Nothing. Zip. Zilch. Nada. There's nothing good in your flesh. Don't put any confidence in your flesh. Don't trust it. But what can we pray for? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, the Bible says that God doesn't tempt men. He tries our faith. That's different. God does things to us to test us and to help us to grow, help us to get stronger, help us to have courage, and for all other kinds of reasons, but it is for our benefit. Whenever these kind of temptations the Lord's talking about praying for, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, he's talking about a temptation that comes in and tries to seduce your flesh. Like, the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Of course, it means other than your wife. But it's talking about unmarried people touching one another. And he said it's not good that a man touch a woman. You know what a touch is? Take your finger that you point at somebody with. Go ahead, take your finger, ball your hand up, and hold your finger out like you're going to point at somebody. Now, reach over and touch the top of your other hand. Just touch it and put your finger on it and take it right back off. Did you do that? That's a touch. It didn't say grab or feel or caress or hug or kiss or whatever. It said touch. That's how sensitive that flesh is. That right there alone can make that flesh go off the wall, brother and sister. A touch. Talking about temptation. Every one of us got something that we could ask the Lord to keep us away from and keep it away from us. You know what bad company is? That's temptation, ain't it? Is there some kind of people that you can be around that would do you no good, no matter what this world is saying about let's all come together? The Bible don't teach that nowhere. Matter of fact, from the very beginning is what caused all the trouble in Babel, remember? All the people coming together. And God told them to split up and multiply and replenish the earth. What'd they do? They all stayed in a big crowd and built a city. And then what'd they start doing? Building a stinking tower so they could get up to God? That's what man does when he starts staying around one another. God don't want y'all piled up on one another. He wants you spread out, man. High fences make good neighbors. Temptation's something that we can pray for. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In that verse right there, what does the Bible teach us that we can pray for ourselves? For our words that come out of our mouth. Jesus said that every man's going to give account of every word that comes out of his mouth. And you women too. Every single word we're going to give account for. That's what the Lord said. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what my heart thinks about and sits there and ponders about. When you're just sitting there and doing nothing and your heart's just running in kind of neutral, you know, where's your heart tend to go to? Where's your heart tend to go to meditate on? What's your heart meditate on? That's why we have the Word of God, so the Word of God can teach us what our meditations ought to be. And the things that whenever you ain't got nothing to think about, where's your heart lead to? I know where my heart led to before I started getting in the book. My heart would go to something filthy and nasty every stinking time. Until I started putting God's Word in there and flushing that mess out of me. And it still tends to surprise me a lot, don't yours? Man, there's some thoughts that pop in my stinking head sometimes that make me stand up and look who heard it. And all it was a thought. Because I scared somebody heard it and I might have said it. Or somebody might have heard my thought. You ever done that? That's how that flesh is. But let the words of my mouth... The Bible says you put bridles on the horse and you put a little bitty steering wheel on a great big ship and you turn all them things around like that and control them. But that tongue no man can control. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's something that we can pray for. Lord, please help me to keep my mouth shut. I've been praying that for years and years and years. And I conservatively say that I got a little better about it. But that mouth, man, my mouth, let me put it that way. I admire a person that's got control of their words, don't you? I ain't never seen anybody that didn't have control of their words that I didn't admire and wish I had that, wish I could do that. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what my heart thinks about. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. We can pray for that for ourselves. Lord, let my words be right. Let the meditation and the things that I think about in my heart be right. And if they ain't right, Lord, lead me and teach me out of your word and change me. Because I don't want to be like that. I don't want my mouth to be filthy. I don't want my heart to be filthy. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, the Bible says. All right, moving right along, what else can we pray for? You said, Brother TV, you ain't ever said nothing good we can pray for. All this is good. What are you talking about? All this is good. Psalm chapter 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And delivered me from all my fears. The Bible says that we shouldn't fear. But that's easier to say than it is to live by. And the Lord knows that, and we know that. Because this world functions on fear. All that stinking covetousness on TV they're trying to seduce you with, it's all driven by fear. Oh, you're going to be without this. You're going to be without this. You're going to be without this. Insurance on your truck and insurance on your car and insurance on your family and insurance on your children and blabbity, 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 blab. It's all because of fear. You might not have this. You might not have enough. You blab. It's all driven by fear. Fear is a good selling tool, man. You ask them people. You want to sell something to people? Scare them. The Lord tells us all through the Scriptures that He does not want us to be scared. Jesus said, "Fear not him which killeth the body." Now that's about the most extreme kind of fear that you could get, that somebody's going to kill your body, right? But Jesus said, when it comes to somebody killing your body, not to fear it. He said, "Fear not him which after he hath killed hath no more that he can do, but rather fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Jesus set the fear factor in the right place. We're not supposed to be scared, but we are. And anybody that tells you they don't have any fears that they're fighting are liars. I've heard preachers say that if you're scared of things, then you don't fear God. And if you fear God, then you're not scared. I can't agree with that, because I got both of them. I fear the Lord. I love Him with all my heart, and I serve Him. And my heart has not wickedly departed from Him. And I check that every single day. But there's things I'm still scared of that I have to talk to the Lord about. And they're silly, some of them. And they ain't going to mean diddly squat in eternity. And it's probably going to be vain that I'm scared of them, but I'm still learning how not to be scared of it. And praise the Lord for people that are walking around and are mature enough in the Lord that they're not scared anymore. But this world is driven by fear. And some things that the Bible says that we can ask for is for the Lord to deliver us from our fears. If the Lord didn't think that we were going to have fears and encourage us all through the Scriptures not to be scared, then why did He bring it up and why does He talk about it so much if it wasn't that we were going to be scared as children of God and the body of Christ? I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I like that word all, don't you? Sometimes fear sneaks up on you and just jumps out in front of you. Even when you're walking just as straight with the Lord as you can, and you're not, you have no reason to be scared of anything at all, and you're not being arrogant and foolish and stuff like that with people, fear jumps out from behind the door. But we can talk with the Lord and pray. You see how important prayer is? All these things that we've just talked about so far. Today, fear, our words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, keeping us from temptation because the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Just these things. Lacking wisdom. Just them things alone. We would be so much better talking to the Lord about it, wouldn't we? You see how important prayer is? And the devil knows how important prayer is. That's why he spends so much time assigning his little devils that follow him and serve him and assigning them to keep us from talking with the Lord. Here's another one. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What's in that verse right there? That God said that we can pray for ourselves about. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commitment, right? Lord, teach me to commit myself to you. Teach me to be committed In other words, I'm not standing. You know what commit? You know what being committed is? I remember one time whenever I was a boy, probably about 13 years old, me and my brother was out in the front yard throwing a frisbee to one another. That was back in the old days when frisbees were around. We was throwing frisbees to one another. And he threw one, and it went way up high, and you know how they do. They always get on top of something. And you got to climb or go up in a tree or go up on top of a house. And this particular time, it curved and went up over my head and went up on top of the house. Well, we was wanting to get it down, and Daddy happened to be around. And he come out there, and he grabbed me by the waist and pushed me up on the roof up there and made me climb up on the roof. Well, I climbed up on the roof and got up there and got that frisbee and threw it back down. And then a thought come to me. Man, I got to get down off this roof. And nobody knew I was scared of being on a roof. But Daddy was hollering at me. He started talking to me by then. He said, come on over here. And I walked over and tiptoed over to the edge, and he was standing down there, and he told me, he said, jump, I'll catch you. And I thought, what a stupid thing to say. I ain't jumping off his stinking roof. He said, jump. And I said, and you can't talk back to Daddy, you know. And I ain't jumping. I was thinking to myself, I ain't jumping off this stinking roof. And about that time, he said, boy, you better not make me come up there after you. And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to die. Well, then I stand there on the edge, and I was thinking, trying to reason, well, do I want him to come up here after me? Would that be worse, or would it be worse if he missed me and I hit the ground? We'll see. And so I'm reasoning all this stuff out, see. But it finally, and then just about the time I was standing there, he jumps and he gets a hold of one of my legs, and I snatch my leg out of his hand, and man, that scared the dickens out of me then. And he's sitting there down there telling me, I ain't spending no more time with this. He says, you better get over here and jump off this roof. I'll catch you. Man, I'm thinking, oh man, he's going to kill me. If he comes up on the roof, he's going to kill me and throw me off the roof. And then if I don't jump, he's just going to get madder and madder and madder at me. And something got to be done. So it all came down to where I had to commit. I eased up to the edge of the roof, and I said, okay, if he don't catch me, then I'm a dead guy, but if he comes up on the roof, I'm dead. So I'm going to take a chance that he'll catch me. But all that talking and all that scared and all that jumping around, that didn't do me no good. The only thing that done me any good was when I leaned over the edge and committed myself to where I couldn't go back. And I leaned over the edge and closed my eyes and fell, and he caught me. And you know what I felt right when he caught me? Embarrassed. Because I knew he was going to catch me all the time and he wouldn't let me hit the ground. It was my fears. And I had to be committed. And a lot of the times our walk with the Lord is, and we're talking about fears and we're talking about all this other kind of, there's all kinds of things that try to keep us from being committed to the Lord. And the bottom line is you ain't committed until you're committed. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commitment. That's something we can ask the Lord for. And that's not all. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 51, verse 2 and 10, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do you know that's a prayer that we can pray to the Lord every day? Because talking about a clean heart, now the Lord's made it easy in the New Testament for us. We don't have to do like the Old Testament does. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time about anything when our heart is right and sincere and we come to the Lord to confess something, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, the Lord's promise is there for the rest of our lives in this body and for eternity. Well, for the rest of our lives in this body, when we leave this body, we don't have to worry about that no more. If we confess our sin, He is faithful, 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 faithful. What does that mean? Every single time you come to Him about anything, to confess it. Lord, I'm sorry I just had that filthy thought. I confess it to you, Lord. Bam. It's forgiven and it's cleansed. The blood of Christ is that powerful. Wash me throughly, not thoroughly, throughly, all the way through me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Man, let me tell you something. Whenever you get sincere and committed with the Lord and start talking to Him about cleansing your heart, and you put forth the walking and the footwork to cleanse your heart, and you put in the Word of God, and you put up the fight that's necessary and the sacrifice that's necessary to change your thinking, bringing every thought into captivity, your heart will start becoming so clean that you won't even recognize yourself, but you sure will love it. You sure will love it. When your heart starts becoming like Jesus' heart, pure and clean, and the right kind of thinking and the right thoughts, and those wicked thoughts don't pop into your mind no more, and the good thoughts and the right things and the pure things and the lovely things, those are prominent and more powerful in your mind. And those will be when you're sitting around in neutral and ain't got nothing to think about. The good things will pop in your mind rather than the filthy things. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Lord wouldn't say we could pray for a right spirit if it wasn't possible for us to have a wrong spirit. Right? Right. We can pray for that. Just a few more here. Which, we could listen to this all day, couldn't we? I couldn't listen to myself all day, but you know, we could listen to God's Word all day. Psalm 119:18, listen to this. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When you get to reading God's Word, and most of you probably already are, and studying God's Word, if you're listening to this, you are. You're studying God's Word. And you're seeking searching as you would silver and gold. You're searching. That God would open your eyes, that you can behold wondrous things out of His law and find out things that you didn't know before, and let the Lord reveal the mysteries of His Word to you and mysteries of the truth. How wonderful is that? Don't you get excited and don't you get joyful in your heart when you sit down and it's like you just ate one of the best meals you've ever eaten in your life, and you just feel so... You just feel so satisfied spiritually. Isn't that wonderful? We can pray for that. That the Lord would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of His law. Because we shouldn't be against the law. Jesus said the law is good. But the problem is that we can't keep the law because we're evil. It's not that the law is so uppity that we couldn't keep it. If we wasn't evil, the law would be good to us. The law is still good. Jesus didn't say that He come to put away the law. He said He come to fulfill the law. Jesus came and everything about Him fulfilled God's law that we couldn't fulfill. But the law is good. If you could live by God's law, you would be perfect. But we can't because we're evil. But now that we have been born again and God the Holy Ghost is in us, He teaches us God's law. And the law is written in our hearts. You see, it's not a hut, two, three, four law anymore, like it was in the Old Testament. It's the law of grace, you see. And we get more into that in another lesson. But open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And here's another one, Psalm 119 also, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. That we pray and ask the Lord for understanding. That not only that we understand what we're reading, and we understand, but we understand what the meaning of what we're reading is, and what we look at it different ways, what the doctrine of the reading is, what the history of the reading is, what the spiritual side of the reading is, and maybe even what the prophecy of the reading is. Just help me understand it, Lord. What are you trying to say? What's the truth about this? I don't want to read and walk away from your word not knowing anything. I want to read and walk away from it full and knowing something about you and knowing something about the truth about what I'm reading. Give me understanding. We can pray for that. And one more. Psalm 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's a good one for us all to pray for. That God would be in control of our steps. That He would say, turn left and turn right and stop and take two steps and do this, that. And that sounds mechanical, but that's not the way I mean it. What I mean is that the Lord, we have turned over the authority of our path over to the Lord and trust Him with our walk. Order my steps in thy word. In other words, when I read your word, Lord, it tells me which street I can walk on and which street I can't walk on. And I intend to obey it. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You got any sins in your life or iniquity in your life that's stronger than others? Some of them you can control with the Lord's help, and some of them you can't control without the Lord's help. Absolutely. We can pray for that. We can ask the Lord for His power. I mean, He's our strength. And the more you spend time with Him, the more you'll find that out, that He is our strength. You know what we'd do if we didn't have the Lord? And I'm speaking for every one of us. Do you know what we would do if we didn't have the Lord to help us? You probably already answered yours, but we would destroy ourselves. Yeah. You too. You say, nah, yeah. Yes, we would. We would take ourselves out one way or another. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let it rule me. Don't let it be boss. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. These are all good prayers and worthy to pray to the Lord. I mean, these are the things that the Lord wants to hear from us, because the Lord already knows us, and He knows our nature, and He knows our character. And He knows what our desires are, and He knows what you want and what you don't want. And He knows what you're trying to want. And He knows your efforts. And He knows your battles. And He knows your sacrifice. He knows when you mean it and when you don't mean it. And the best part about it is that He's on your side. He's willing to fight along with you. But it's kind of like some of the things whenever we were babes in Christ, the Lord did entirely for us. As we grew, the Lord held us up while we tried to walk. And then as we grew, the Lord turned us loose and let us pedal the bicycle on our own. And it grows from there. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. All right, so talking about things that we can pray for ourselves in their proper places. And quite a few, and that's not all of them. There's all kinds of things that we can pray for. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? This is what should be encouraging to all of us, is that we have the privilege to be able to come before the Lord with all the good things that we want to, the praise and the honor and the worshiping Him. And then also, whenever times need to be more serious as far as our sin and our iniquity and our spirits and our hearts, and God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for people, and just all kinds of things. Sin is very, prayer is very serious in a Christian's life, very necessary, and we need to prioritize it. We need to do it because we get to, not because we have to. And a lot of times it's going to feel like because you have to, because you got so many enemies fighting against you for that reason. But you got to remember that the enemy is not fighting. He's fighting to keep you from conversing with your Lord, because he knows that the Lord loves you, and that the Lord and you talking is going to put him out the door. And he's going to lose that battle if you talk with the Lord. So, and if he can stop your communication with the Lord, he can pretty well have his way with you. So let's not let that happen, right? Let's keep on praying when we want to and when we don't want to. Amen. All right, well, let me give you these scriptures today. You ready? We begin with James chapter 1, verse 5. Matthew chapter 26, verse 4. Or excuse me, 26, verse 41. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. Psalm chapter 34, verse 4. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5. Psalm chapter 51, verse 2 and 10. Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. Also, Psalm chapter 119, verse 34. And also Psalm 119, verse 133. Those are the scriptures that we talked about today, God's Word, concerning what we can pray for ourselves. I hope that you go back over those and read them. You probably could make better sense reading them yourself than I have. But either way, we've had a good day talking about what we can pray for, and we should be thankful that we can pray to the Lord about things having to do with ourselves. The Lord said, let every man think on the things of others and not on the things of themselves. But, of course, the Lord meant that in a certain way, not that we should never think of ourselves. Of course we come to the Lord and talk to Him about ourselves, of course. But aren't you glad that the Lord is so easy to talk to? He's so easy to talk to. Especially when there's sincerity in your heart and you mean it, and you're coming to Him for the right reasons. He is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Father. He really, really is. He takes His fatherhood very seriously, and He doesn't just say He's your Father. He behaves like He's your Father, and He cares like He's your Father, your Heavenly Father. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Next time that we come together, we're going to talk about a child of God. A child of God's prayer should be with. In other words, when we're praying, there are some things that should be included in our prayers also. We're going to talk about some of them, probably about, 10 of them or something, and what the Scripture says about it. God bless you for loving the Lord and taking time in His Word. You have a wonderful evening. God bless you and your family. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.